All right. Hey, I'll tell you what I just did. I just did an impromptu preaching session over there, so you can help me sing amen. What page are we doing that on? Okay. All right. I'm sorry I ran over there and spilt my coffee on the way over here. Grab a hymn book if you would, and let's turn to page number 164. If you'd stand with us tonight, page number 164, hymn number 164. Okay. Now, you know, I've actually been in a northern church before with a evangelist from the south, and they made us sing this song twice, the English version and the southern version. And I know that's probably not all that much funny to you, but up there it was, because you got all these Yankees, and they made us say, "Are you washed in the blood instead of washed in the blood?" And it was pretty funny. So, you guys, we'll sing it the southern way tonight. You belt this out with us, okay? All right. Hey, Matt, can you turn this microphone on real good for me?
No.
Okay, I think that'd be hilarious. How many of you like to hear Chris sing? Give me an amen if you
amen.
Would.
Amen.
Okay. I think he's going to turn five shades of red. Hey, so if you love Chris, help him out tonight, okay? Belt it out from your pew. All right, you ready? Miss Andy. Let's sing the first, the second, and the last.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul?
This evening, as you read this, Greg, can you take his place down here? No, we got enough right here. There's four guys. Chris is getting ready to bail. We can get somebody else to take up the offering. All right, so you know, this song's asking a question. You know, have you been to Jesus? That's the first one. You know, you can't live for the Lord unless you know the Lord. And then the second one is this: are you walking daily by the Savior's side? So if you're going to sing this song, you got to answer the question. Remember, we just don't want to do it for the motions. And we don't want to sing a lie, right? So when you're singing these songs, try to figure out what they're saying, okay? Because there's a reason why we do this. It's supposed to help our worship, right? Okay? And as you're thinking about it, okay, the first one I can say yes to. Have you been to Jesus for His cleansing power? Yes. Okay. Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Okay. First one was a little easier. Second one, am I fully trusting? That means you don't worry. You don't take matters in your own hands. All right. That's an honest question. Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washing the blood of the Lamb? Are you worried about you're saved because of what He did on the cross? And then the next one is, the last one that we're going to sing. But these are, when you're singing this, ask yourself those questions and ask, can you really, from your heart, sing it like you mean it? All right, let's see here. The guy on the end, what's it? Alan, can you pray for us? I was going to say the guy with no hair, but the only one that would be is Ron. Go ahead. All right. Okay, I'm the last.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul?
Seated tonight. I thought what maybe we would do during this time, if you don't mind to help me, we'll do prayer request here in a minute, but tomorrow is the funeral of Brother Johnny Watson. Is that correct? Did I say his last name right? And he's been in this church for a long time. I did not get a chance to know him. The two times I visited with him, he was already I'm pretty sick, and I just didn't get a chance to really get to know him. And one of the things, and he doesn't have, I think his children have already passed. His wife's passed, and his two children have passed. So the only really avenue that I've got to really get to know him is you guys. I can preach a funeral message, but I'd like to maybe try to get to know him a little bit better here. And was wondering if any of you would have something that a thought or a memory you'd like to share this evening about Brother Johnny. Brother Lloyd, tell me something about him. Amen. Does anybody, so Brother Lloyd was saying that, you know, when he got sick, he really enjoyed just us, the older folks would go out, and you've done that for the longest time, would go out and make sure every Christmas that the shut-ins and so forth got a visit, and they'd pray, and the cookies that they would get are, you know, was very impressive, and he really enjoyed that. Does anybody know? Has he always been in this church? Does anybody know when he got saved, or you know, how long has he been a deacon? Does anybody know that? Okay. How many years did he come here? Okay. All right. That's the year that I went to college. And he was a deacon until he came as a deacon from another church. Okay. How many of you were here when he came? Okay, quite a bit. All right. Will you do me a favor? If anything else comes to your mind that might be helpful, that you could share with me, you know, just could I get a chance to know him a little bit between now and then. For sure, he's in heaven, which is cool, right? And struggled for some time. He's been sick. His wife's already there, and his two kids are already there. Could you imagine a homecoming? Greg said he was probably up there already talking to his dad, you know? And that's a reality, right? A reality we're all going to, I mean, it's hard. It's like abstract, right? You know it, but do we really believe that he's talking to Chuck, right? Okay. 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 So, Obi, at work, could you tell he was a Christian? Amen. Thank you. That will help me. What place did you work with him at? HBD Industries. And he was a foreman there. Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, I know for me, I've heard nothing but good about the man's walk with the Lord. Everybody said that I would have enjoyed meeting him, you know. So you pray for that tomorrow, that God will just use that time, you know, where we get to celebrate a brother's homecoming and really his life on earth. You only got one shot at your testimony, right? Aren't you glad for the grace of God that if you hit a bump in the road, you've got the opportunity to set it straight? And I'm sorry, goes a long way. God's always kind and forgiving. And at the end of the day, when it comes our time, what do you want to be known for, you know? And that is, like he said, that people could tell you're a Christian, you know? I mean, it's only one place you can leave your mark on this earth. And so just pray for that tomorrow, that the Lord will use that. Do we have any prayer requests? So just some things to pray about for me. Lord willing, I'll be leaving Tuesday for Africa. We've got Brother Ray Bearden is going to cover next Wednesday night, which, you know, he's one of the guys I would love to just sit down and listen to him. You know, I really enjoy it to him. Every time I'm on the phone, we can't get off right away. It's always 20 minutes. So Lord willing, he'll be here Wednesday, and he'll be here the following Sunday. And then the next Sunday, I got a treat, and I wish I was going to be here for it. It's a young man. He's going to Morocco as a missionary. Now, Morocco is mostly desert. It's in the northern part of Africa. And he answered a call to go be a missionary there, and he's going to be preaching that Sunday, and you pray for him. I'm looking forward to our church getting to know him. You know, anybody that's going to go to that part of the world has had to have a point in their life where you can really, I mean, like that song says, we say we trust him, but then are you willing to walk on the water, right? I mean, you realize that there were other disciples in that boat and none of them got out. Only Peter got out. They all had to, I mean, I don't think Jesus would have said, hey, I can only take one at a time. But there's only one in there that was willing to even give it a shot, right? You know, and I appreciate a young man certainly does not need to go to Morocco without having all kinds of churches behind him praying for him and getting to know this young man. You know, he's got a really good testimony. And you pray for him as he'll be preaching the second Sunday. And then I'll be back. Got lots to do up there. We're going to be putting a 75 horsepower boat on engine on an African made boat. I've never hooked up an outboard motor before. So hopefully the instruction book's in English, but the guy I've got coming with me, he knows what he's doing. So, and then we're going to attempt to duplicate your building that you guys did, at least get the structure up. Got a lot to do. I want to get out and visit with the pastors, so you just pray for that. We're going to be drilling another well. Pray that we hit water, okay? We desperately need the folks that are going to be building the new addition to the orphanage really want their own well, you know, I just need God to help us do that, okay? If you'd pray for that. So it's sort of like this, you know, I was thinking about this today. Those guys are on the front line. You know, they're at the place where, man, the devil doesn't want the gospel to go out. We've got the gospel in America. You know, I have a friend in India. His name's Mahesh. Mahesh is Hindu. His dad died this week. Well, I knew his dad. I've ate dinner at his house. And when you go to Mahesh's house, there's little idols all over his house. And, I mean, they absolutely 100% believe that. They're good people. I mean, they're my friends. They would watch over me in Africa like you wouldn't believe. His dad died, and today he told me, he said, when you see me, don't laugh. I said, well, why would I laugh? He said, because I had to shave my head. Well, in the Hindu religion, when your dad passes away, all the male members of their family shave their head. You know, isn't it sad that sometimes, I mean, they really must believe what they trust in, or they wouldn't be doing that, right? Well, and God don't ask us to do that. He just asks us to go tell people. Well, so that's the front line. And what I'm doing is I'm going to go check on the troops. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to resupply them. I'm going to make sure that they have what they need. And then I'm going to get on an airplane and come home. I'm going to tell you how the battle's going. And then we're going to hunker down here and we're going to push. And we're going to reach our Jerusalem. because we're the anchor that those guys depend on all over the United States. There's churches all over, and every one of them have taken a hit because of COVID, right? Well, we're the ones that those people out there look back to because they don't have a support group where they're at, right? And then let me tell you something. Tonight, I went over there, I got a chance to preach the message tonight. For 10 minutes, 40 kids, dead locked on me. Nobody messing around. I got to tell them the same thing I'm telling you, but on a more kid level. And I enjoyed that. You know, and that's what that's all about is, you know, being able to take what we know and get it in the hands of other people. Man, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My name's written in a book and I can't lose it. Right? But what about everybody else out there? You know, and that's what a church is supposed to do. Get around that truth, get it out there. And man, I'll tell you what, you go kick the devil, he don't like that. But aren't you glad that as we do that, here's little old us kicking the devil. And God's behind us saying, it's okay, Dave, I got your back. You know? So you pray for that trip, okay? You know, in my other church, I mean, I covet your prayer. I don't want it to go. I got too many customs places to go through. I got too many areas that it can go bad. But I know if you're home and you're praying for me, I count on that, right? I mean, it's not a joke for me at all. I mean, to know that, hey, I've got somebody back home that's going to remember this trip and what we're doing and ask God, keep them safe. I need favor with the police. I need favor with customs. I need favor with a boat driver. I mean, I just need God to just pave the way because in 900 ways it could go wrong over there, it will, right? I mean, one trip's a good solid 4 hours on a boat. You know, if they take the other boat, it could be 8 hours. So pray I get the 4-hour boat, not the 8-hour boat, because the 8-hour boat's no hoot. So you guys pray for that. Anybody else got any prayer requests we can pray? Yes, ma'am, Miss Sheila. Okay, say your name again. Jacqueline. Okay. Miss Sheila asked us to pray for Jacqueline. Anybody else? Any other prayer requests tonight? Okay. All right. Okay. Pray for Chris and Greg's mom. Anybody else? How many got somebody that you're praying for that's not saved and you mention his name every night or her name? You got somebody like that? Okay. All right. How many of you got an unspoken prayer request? All right. That's probably everybody in this room. Since I was a kid, I heard that word unspoken thousands and thousands of times. I know. What that is, that's somebody's heartache that they can't share. Behind it's tears, some anxiety, fears, whatever. And we don't need to know what it is. We just got to know somebody else in this room carries a burden, right? You know, they may shoulder it up and put on a smile, but it's something that's inside hurting, something that they need God. We all got something we need God to do, right? You know, and so when you pray for yours, don't forget there's other people that got the same need. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for being able to come to your house. Thank you for all the kids over there that are learning about you this evening. I pray you'd be with that, Lord, that they may hide these things in their heart. Lord, I pray for the funeral tomorrow that you would use it in a way that would be honor and glory. Lord, now Johnny's home with you. And Lord, that he wouldn't want to come back even if he could. Lord, there was a reunion waiting for him of people that already gone on. His wife's already passed and his kids. And Lord, thank you for the hope of heaven. Lord, I pray tomorrow that there perhaps might be an old friend or somebody that knew him forever that maybe doesn't know you. And tomorrow will be a chance to share the truth with somebody. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say and that your spirit would be present and we wouldn't grieve it. Lord, I pray for Miss Sheila's sister, Jacqueline, tonight. And you know the need there. I pray bring comfort and help there. And Lord, that you would watch over her and meet that need. Lord, I pray for... Brenda tonight. Lord, I know that her heart, she wants to be here. But Lord, I pray she's got some problems with her hip and her leg. And I pray and ask and believe that you can remedy that this evening. And I ask that you would do that, that you would give her the ability, Lord, to be able to be back in church, because this is where I know her heart is. I pray you'd watch over that. We've all got people that we're praying for that aren't saved. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would you'd be kind and gracious. And Lord, tomorrow, I pray that you'd use somebody in their path to bring to mind that you love them, whether it's in a gospel track or meeting somebody at work that's a Christian or seeing a billboard. Lord, I pray that you'd bring to their mind again tomorrow that they're lost and that they need the gospel. Lord, there's many people in this room that have unspoken prayer requests, things that are in our heart that we can't share, often surrounded by a burden and tears. And Lord, I just pray that you would meet those needs. Lord, you ask us to come unto you, all that labor and are heavy laden. And Lord, the world would absolutely lay a burden on you. And I'm glad that we can come to you and that you'll take that burden and you'll help us carry it. Father, thank you for that. And I pray that you'd meet each need, each heart tonight, if only through this, knowing that help us to remember and realize that you do care. And Lord, I pray for our church as well as other churches as we just adjust to this COVID thing. Lord, it has affected many. Lord, there are some that just get out of the habit and it's hard to get back in it again. And there are some that where this has just been a major distraction. And there's some that legitimately need to stay home because of their health. And Lord, we just miss them. And Lord, I pray and covet the day when we can just all get back to normal. But that is, I am not relying on the government to do that or a person to do that, but I know you can do that. And I know in your time that you can and you will. And I just pray that as we trust you and navigate through this, Lord, that you'd be kind and gracious to our church. I pray for our missionaries tonight that are around the world, Lord, that represent our church that are preaching the gospel. Lord, I pray every one of them have needs, and I pray, Lord, you would meet them. Everyone needs safety, and I pray you'd watch over them. Lord, they're far from home, and we certainly don't want to forget about them. And Lord, I pray that you would let them know that this church cares. And Lord, I just pray you'd be with the service this evening. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And if you would take your Bibles this evening, and let's go to the book of Judges. And we are going to go to Judges, and we were in chapter 16, and we left off right where Samson got his hair cut, and we're going to pick up right there. We went through how many times, remember, just as a little bit of a recap, remember he's sitting there, and three times Delilah says, if you love me, you'll tell me what makes you strong. And three times Samson makes up this crazy story about green vines, and if you do this and if you do that. And three times she does exactly what he tells her. If he tells her to tie him with green vines, she does it. You would think the first time he told her and she did it, he would go, huh, probably can't trust her. The next, see, it was all fine as long as he was lying to her, not telling her the truth, right? But then all of a sudden, here, because we know that in verse 16, look at this, it says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily. We talked about that. You know, the devil knows what our weakness is. Everybody, and here's something you got to remember. The time you get in trouble as a Christian, when you think you cannot fall. Okay? Because that's when you go right smack off the cliff. Because by nature, we're all sinners. Okay? And because we're all sinners, we know that the ability to be wicked is there in our flesh. We know that. Don't ever forget that. Keep your eye on that part of who you are. You want to keep it suppressed and pushed down. But you know that it's there, right? It's going to be there until you die. All right? The Bible says we know that in our flesh dwells how many good things? None. Right? You can't trust your flesh. You definitely shouldn't feed your flesh. You feed it, it's gonna gain strength. If it gains strength, it'll resurrect itself and it'll show up, cause all kinds of problems. Right? You ever heard this before? Somebody said they acted in the flesh. It stands up and it starts to take charge. We're in trouble. See, Samson was okay. He held his own because he lied to her three times. But his flesh couldn't keep up with the constant temptation. What does the Bible say to do about temptation? Leave it around? No. If I told you I had an alcohol problem, and every time I drove home past a bar, it would really, really tempt me, and sometimes I would go into the bar and drink, what would you tell me? Find another way home. But Jordan, what if I kept telling you, but I can't, I don't know what to do. He'd say, quit going home that way. You know it's there. You know it's a problem. But the other way's 5 miles longer. Well, how bad do you want to do right? Well, the other way is, how bad do you want to do right? The problem is that what he should have done is noticed that she lied to him three times. He should have removed himself out of that situation right then. But he's too deep. You know why? The world already had his heart. Because he liked this girl. Here's the problem. He liked her companionship more than the companionship of the Lord. And you know what? Christians can do that. Do you believe Christians can get backslid? Well, sure. Absolutely. Do you think Christians can get into some bad stuff? Let me ask you this. How many of you believe Lot was a Christian? Believe he's a Christian, give me an amen. How do we know he was a Christian? Because it says in the New Testament, say that again, Lloyd, because you got it right. It said he vexed, hearing and seeing the wickedness, it vexed his righteous soul. Well, you can't be lost and have a righteous soul. Right? So we know he was a believer and you're going to see him in heaven. Do you know he fathered his own grandkids? Oof. I mean, wouldn't you say that's pretty messed up, right? But that happened because he got away from the Lord. See, he should have removed himself from Sodom and Gomorrah years ago. No, I'll even give it to you. Maybe he really didn't understand how bad that city was when he first moved out there. But the second he did, he should have packed up and moved. I mean, we can't stay here. We can't live in this filth. We got to get out of here. He should have did that. He should have done that. So it says, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Now, how does that happen? Your soul vexed unto death? I mean, it was just, he was just tired of the constant barrage of you got to tell me, you got to tell me, you got to tell me. That he told her all. He told her all his heart. May I tell you something? When you get saved, what do we say that we do? It says we give our heart to who? The Lord Jesus. You can't be sharing that with anybody else unless they're a believer. She was not. And the heart and the world don't care. And he shared his heart with the world. And the world just chewed him up and spit him out. Now, why would God put all of these things that you would think is private stuff? Because he wanted us to have the ability to look at that, apply it today, and avoid the pothole. So we know the story. He gets his eyes poked out. And then if you go down to verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. Now, remember, he put out his eyes. Why do you think they put out his eyes and didn't break his feet? Anybody got any idea? Why did they put his eyeballs out and didn't break his arms? What? So he can work. All right. What was Samson's number one problem? Sports? Drinking? Did he smoke pot in the bathroom? What was his number one problem? Women. Okay. What's the gate of that your eyes. It's not a coincidence that his eyes got poked out, because that was the thing that he could not control. He would look on these women. He would say that they were pretty. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Remember that verse? Okay. So it was not, I don't think it's a coincidence that he got his eyes poked out. I'm sure they did other things to him, but why do you think God wanted you to know? I mean, does it really matter at this point? I think God wants us to know, hey, listen. You know, there's consequences. And really, honestly, that might have been, at this point, if he couldn't control it, might have been the best thing for him. Remember, the Bible says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. That's, we would say, slightly drastic, okay? But if you get to that point, remember I told you about in North Carolina, there was a lady that was on heroin. I mean, this just happened 2 years ago. It's in a church service. And she felt that God was telling her to go outside and to take her eyeballs out of her head. And she did that. And I'm telling you what, I read that and thinking, you know how hard, I just thought, how, did they just pop out? I mean, you really got to dig your eyeball out. And then while they're sitting in her hand, she squishes them. They couldn't put them back in again. And that's a true story, right? I mean, messed up bad. You know what she said as she got better? She can't see. And she said that's the first time in her life she's ever been sober and off of drugs. And she said, I'd give up my eyes any day for what I got now. Whew. I don't think we got to go to that extreme. I think that God gives us a way out before then. But I don't think it's a coincidence that he got his eyes poked out, because that's what he kept tripping over and over again. All right. So, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistine gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hands. Now, I don't know how long his hair had been growing on, but they're still excited about the fact that they've got Samson. That they planned this big old party to celebrate their God and the defeat of Samson. But aren't you glad for the grace of God? That hair growing, that's the grace of God. See, Samson in his heart loved the Lord. He just got off track. But don't forget this, guys. Whether it's our kids or ourselves or your grandkids, nobody is immune to that. Anybody can wreck their life as a Christian. All it takes is getting away from the Lord. That's the reason why we probably shouldn't play around with church on Sunday. That's the reason why we should take the Bible seriously and actually read it. That's the reason why we shouldn't waste any time that you have to hear the Word of God. You should surround yourself with as much positive Christian influence that you can, because Christians every day wreck their life. I mean, you see, Jerry Falwell, I remember when Jerry, how many of you remember when Jerry Falwell would have been a fundamental independent Baptist? I remember that. And he kind of actually spurred on the Christian school movement. When he started this Christian school movement, it was the same time they took prayer out of school. And there was a mass exodus. And I actually remember, I am 51 years old and I never went to public school. Because I was, that same time was when I was little and they started Christian schools. And so my mom put me in a Christian school since I was kindergarten. Right? I mean, that's how long that it's been. Jerry Falwell was a good preacher. In fact, you can go online and hear messages earlier on, and he would sound like anybody in any pulpit around here. He had standards. He had convictions. He believed in the King James Bible. He stood by that. But then as fame got to him and as he rose up in popularity, he forgot some of the things that he held there, and he left. Now, you could read in the newspaper today about his son, total disaster.
I mean, messed up, bad testimony, and bad. Unfortunately, he's up there with President Trump, you know, giving him spiritual advice, and this guy has got issues, bad. How'd he end up there? Same way Lot ended up where he did, right? So we know that. But aren't you glad for the grace of God? So there's Samson. He knows he's messed up, and he's reliving all that mess. And God let his hair grow. Now, this is just a thought. It's free. It doesn't seem like much time's gone by. I wonder if God sped up the process a little bit. I think he could. How long does it take for you to be flat bald to the point where it was before? I have no idea. I know this, that those dummies didn't even know that it was growing. They didn't think, better not let that happen again. And his hair grew out. And that just represented the promise that he had made to God. And God said, okay, Samson, one more time. And I love that. Guys, nobody's ever done. You know what? Do not let the devil beat you up over your past. Now, if you've not done anything with your past, then I can't help you. Do not ask for forgiveness. Sometimes you got to go to other people and ask for forgiveness. Got to get that weight of your past off of you. Okay? But what you've dealt with your past with the grace of God, that doesn't limit anybody. Because if it did, I'd have to have a question with how this story ended, right? Okay? God's in charge of what happens next, and he can do whatever he wants to with it. And believe me, if he didn't believe in second chances, he wouldn't let Samson kill more people in his death than he did in his life. He was in charge of how that played out. And you think, we know he killed 1,000 people. What a job. We know at least there was 2,000 there because he said twice as many. So I know there had to be at least 2,000, just based on that one battle. I don't know all the other battle. That wasn't the only battle he did. That's just one I know I got an accurate account of, right? Okay? So then you go multiplying that. There could have been 10, 15, 20, 30,000 people in this big, huge, giant building. And then God let that man, he's sorry in his heart. And then listen to what he says. He said, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice. Verse 24, when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands. May I tell you something? Please don't let the devil use you to parade yourself in front of the world. Don't let him do that. Okay, because what he's doing, he's saying, he's mocking God and saying, he got delivered into our hands. No, it's not because God was weak, it's because Samson was. And God, we got to watch our weak moments. And you know what's difficult? We all got them. All right? And you just got to you got to pray. You surround your weak moment. You surround that spot. You keep an eye on it. Because look what it says here. It said, and when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand. So there's a little guy that was escorting Samson everywhere he went. And he said, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now I'm going to throw something in for free that I heard. When you're preaching, you're not supposed to like add stuff to the Bible because it says that. When I was growing up, I heard this preached, that Samson told that little boy, after he put him by the pillars, told that little boy to go outside because he knew what he was getting ready to do. Now, that's a good thought. What's the problem with it? It's not in the Bible. I don't know if you ever heard that before. I've heard people preach on that. Now, I can say, speculative, that maybe that could have happened, right? I mean, I'm hoping the guy's a good guy and it's a little kid and perhaps, but the only problem is why you don't want to do that, it's not in there, right? I mean, it makes a good story, maybe even get a tear going. You know, you're thinking about, you know, Samson watching out for that little kid. Problem is, doesn't say that. Now, very well might be true, right? But there's so much in here that is true that you can point to, probably should better just stick with that. All right. So, and Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there, and they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. Huh. Isn't that awesome? God never forgot about him. It's Samson that forgot. God was already right there. He's the one that got him in the building. He's the one that had the little lad put him in between. He was already there. He's the one that let the hair grow. God hadn't forgot about Samson. Samson just forgot about God. And Samson's the one that's getting back to where he should be. So he goes on to say this. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Now he's recognizing where his strength came from, God. O God, that I might be at once avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which was borne up of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Now, in essence, what is Samson doing at this moment? He's willingly going to take his life. Now, I guess you can spin it and say that he did it for the greater good, right? The only reason I want to remind you is sometimes you're going to run across people with heavy hearts because they've lost somebody to suicide. Catholic Church teaches that if you do that, that you don't go to heaven. There's a lot of Baptist churches. There's a lot of Christians that don't grasp that. That's wrong. I mean, I can't. I remember, before you can do something like that, you got to have Bible. I don't have any Bible that says if you kill yourself that you're gonna, that you've given up your salvation and you go to hell. There's no Bible to that. Instead, I got just the contrary. Okay? I mean, I see here plainly this man is going to kill himself. All right? He said, he's on purpose going to do something that's going to cost him his life. Maybe he feels at this point, and it's kind of sad that it ended this way. Had he done right, he could have still been out there fighting the Philistines, right? I mean, he could have still been chasing them from one end of town but the other, but he's gotten to the point and thinks that's it. And he acted. Now, I am not pleased, don't go. I mean, I was preaching a funeral one time, and this actually happened, of a guy who shot himself. And I'm preaching a funeral, and I did just this. Well, later on that day, a lady heard me, and she tried to kill herself that day because she said, I said that it was, I am not saying that it's okay to kill yourself. I think that God's got a plan for you, right? But here's what I am saying. Is that could never take away what God did for you on the cross, not in a million years. And God used this in a mighty way. Now, sometimes we look at stuff like that happens, and we judge. We shouldn't do that. We don't walk in those shoes. What we ought to have is grace and mercy, right, and love. Because we don't walk in those shoes. We shouldn't say things that are hurtful about that. Because God loved this man. And it was clear that he was with him throughout the whole experience, Chris, because he's the one that's enabling them to do it. Now, I told you, as a pastor, I can't always do the thinking for you. All I can just put the Bible there and say, you look at it. I can't be your conscience. All I do is I see a God that loved this man. He was in a dark place, and he cared about it, right? So if you ever run across somebody and they say, you can tell them, hey, man, I'm praying. But you know what you can do? You can remember a spot in the Bible about a good, godly guy. You can give them hope here. Incredible hope. I was preaching one time in Slippery Rock. There's a big campground there, and there was like 1,500 RVs. And I would go there Sunday morning before our regular church service, and I would preach. And it would be every denomination in the sun. It was a campground. And I didn't think they'd ever invite me back again, because the other people that preached there, a lot of them were women, you know. And I thought, oh, great. But for some reason, they liked me and put up with me, and they started asking me to come back, and I started doing it every Sunday. On the way out of the door, this lady comes up to me, dead serious, and she says this: please pray for my granddaughter, and she's crying. I thought, man. I said, sure, I'll pray for your granddaughter. You know what she said? She said, my daughter won't get my granddaughter baptized in the Catholic Church. She goes to a Baptist church and she won't do it. And here's what that mom said to me. She said, I'm scared to death that my little grandbaby's going to go to hell. I didn't make fun of her or make fun of what she believed. You know what I told her? I took her to the Bible. Because she wasn't ready to hear the truth just yet. I took her to the Bible. I said, let me help you something. I told her about David. And I told her about David's baby. And I assured her, because her grandchild was just, I mean, it was just a baby. I assured her that if something happened to that baby would go to heaven. Not because I think it's a good idea, but because God thought it was a good idea. And he put it in the Bible to help us. Well, this event and recording that Samson killed himself is put in the Bible to help us. At least we've got something that we can hold on to help other people if they've ever got to experience something like this and give them hope. I mean, think about it, guys. Why would that undo the grace of God? One sin's not any worse than another sin. Do you believe if a Christian murders somebody while they're a Christian, do they lose their salvation? No, because David would have a problem. Having an affair, do you lose your salvation? Mm-mm. Because you don't have it anyways. That's locked and signed and sealed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ in heaven. And you can't touch that. And every day it stays there. And it cries out, forgiven. And nothing you can do can change that. That's very comforting. And to know that God was with him right here. Obviously, how can I prove it was he was with him? Because he said God strengthened me. And what happened? He got strengthened. So that proves to me God's right there, right beside him. He said, come on home. You fought enough. Goes on to say this. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and all those other names that are too hard to say. And that's the life of Samson. It's kind of a sad thing, right? I mean, he only ministered for 20 years. That's it. Had a lot of potential. We'll see Samson in heaven. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm thankful for the grace of God, but man, I tell you what if we think what he did with his life was a waste, how much more of a waste for us to read his story and then repeat it, right? You know, this is repeated every day with Christians. Every day the Christians get sucked up in the world. Every day we get dirtied in that mess out there. Every day we let it mar our testimony. Every day it pushes again. Every day we lose our fellow brothers and sisters as casualty in the war to Satan every day. And what's sad is I've got this story. Every kid, Greg, you heard this story when you were little. That thing ought to be impactful enough to go, whoa! Right? But it's not. We all spent a little time where Samson's spending, right? And that's the reason why we need to take heed to the Word of God Ask God to open our eyes and pull the scales back and let us learn of Him. He can actually help us if we can get that in here. And then as we go out there, we can use it and not be a casual. I'm praying, God, help me see it before I step in that trap. Wake me up. Do something. You know, I mean, smack me on the head, whatever you got to do. Get me about, I mean, aren't you glad that sometimes He uses something little to scare you a little bit back in before He's got to do something big? Whew. How many of you ever, in your mind, ever just thought something happened? You think, whew, I make it out of this. I'm going to start being serious. You ever, don't raise your hand. You ever done that? You ever just have a spot and you think, God, just get me out of this one or fix this or help me here. And I promise you won't miss a Sunday. I promise you, man, you want me to be a Sunday school teacher. Or, you know, sometimes maybe it'd be bad enough. You'd even say, hey, I'll even go be a missionary, whatever, you know, whatever it takes, you know, that God would help us to see that for whatever reason, Samson got into the place that he couldn't see who Delilah was. I want to be able to see that for what it is out there. They're not my friend, you know, and we got to watch that. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this evening. I thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it and being able to go through the book of Judges. And Lord, I thank you for the grace of God in Samson's life. And Lord, how you used him. I want to thank you that we'll see him in heaven. And Lord, I pray for us and our young people, Lord, that we won't forget this story and we'll hide it in our heart. Help us to use it for your honor and glory. And Lord, help us to also remember, help us to be kind to people that struggle in the world, because we've spent our fair share of time ourselves there. Help us to be full of grace like you are. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay. We'll see you. Oh, I almost forgot something real quick. And I'm going to announce it. I really think, and I prayed about this, I'm getting ready to go out